Previously on the Dead Dragon Society.
We were granted a wish, and we wished for you, but you've come to us with a twist. We're trying to figure out how to unlock your powers so that you could perhaps in turn help us unlock ours.
The more I see, the more I learn, the more I understand, I think.
Your presence is one of great power, and there may be many other people that are interested in it.
And you hear a voice.
Theo! Is that you?
Victor?
His eyes look at Horatio, and he kind of chuckles a little bit. How are those comedy cards?
They're great!
He sees Chad, and you see a slight smile on his face. It quickly disappears. Sean, guard kind of stiffens up. Let them in, if they can solve the null problem.
Friends, comrades, come over here. I think there's something unusual going on.
You see a mouth just kind of form, and it's just sitting there.
Oh. A mouth in the ceiling?
I'm going to go Mordere de Frigis, and I'm going to cast Frostbite. A beam of blue just shoots out, and you see his body just, like ice, just starts to spread all over, and then it just starts to crack, and the teeth start to just fall off. Like icicles. And all of it just starts to break on contact with the ground.
I glance at Chad to see his reaction to that.
And as he kind of like remembers and learns, he looks a little bit older now.
I say, oh, are those some mustache hairs I see?
Why didn't we record that?
That was the funniest thing that's ever happened.
Everybody knows
so
improv.
Bad for yeah. Everybody at home.
Improv warm-ups are peak comedy. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Everybody
and
wants to.
You'll
hear
have to subscribe to our Patreon to get more content like that. Otherwise, we will continue to not record it and then say how funny it was. You should have been there. You had to be there.
Had to be there for sure.
All right, so let's do our introductions.
Hi, my name is Paige Raymond. I play Anne O'Neing, a regionally renowned one-woman band in the Forgotten Realms, on a personal journey to do her village proud by racking up fame and good fortune, and arch nemesis of Peanut the Squirrel.
My name is Frank Chaponi the Elder, and I play Theo Blackthorn, who is a well-to-do, prosperous merchant with a horrible past and a new side hustle as a warlock.
My name is Jorge Bardales. I play Maximilian DuPont, a very young wannabe merchant looking for some revenge.
My name is Matt Callahan. I play Horatio Rumbuckle, a bard and fellow friend of Anne O'Neing. He's on the run from a noble after his head, and he's desperately looking to find his scattered circus troupe. He is performing partners with Peanut the Squirrel.
My name is Pat Salambia. I am playing Trogrim, a half-orc barbarian, magically enhanced with technology from his village, and has a broken piece of arcane artifice and a quest to save his village.
And I'm Frankie, the DM. I don't have a fun intro like everyone else.
It's all you need.
That's a fun intro.
Fun-ish.
It's an intro.
What'd you eat for lunch today?
A BLT.
That's interesting.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. It was a BLT wrap, yeah.
Give me an acronym of BLT, but involves like fantasy stuff.
Boulder's Gate Latte.
Trogrim.
Trogrim. BGLT.
Beastly Leviathan Tentacle.
Oh,
ooh,
delicious. Legend. Trogrim.
We're at our fireplace. The campfire is all around us. You can hear the crackling in the background. And the question of the day pops up. Choose one of your companions and say how you would introduce them at a gladiatorial arena.
Ladies and gentlemen, probably not boys and girls. You shouldn't bring your children to these kind of events. Actually, maybe you should bring your children to these kind of events. They can learn about life and death situations. Intense life and death situations. And the consequences of their actions and mistakes. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls at your discretion, non-binary theys, I present to you the beastly, the grisly, the undefeated, least talented mammal in the world. He's probably going to lose. It's Peanut the Squirrel. And then the crowd goes wild.
Peanuts, incredible just show power and charisma still woos them over despite
the They still cheer.
Peanut flexes the tiniest muscle pops out.
Lords and ladies, peasants and paupers, standing in the red corner, hailing from a tiny village hidden from the world by a mysterious magical veil of secrecy, standing at 7 feet forever and weighing in at 400 chickens, I give you the benevolent berserker, the breaker of wrists, the chooser of rocks, Trogrom!
Jeez, Frank, did you work in sports reporting? Or
and the crowd is stunned.
The crowd is stunned silent.
Damn, George, are you bringing that kind of heat?
No, I'm supposed to follow that.
Yeah, George's turn.
Someone else go. All right.
That's pretty good.
Welcome, you bloodthirsty scum. In this corner, the man with the mustache, the man with the bloodthirst, it's Blackthorn!
The crowd, like two people.
I guess that would happen, yeah.
One has like face paint, they're just like, what? Like the one fan that goes a little bit too hard, that's uncomfortable. Yeah.
And Theo says, I'm very disappointed in all of you.
And in this corner, undefeated in the Phandalin bar fighting community, short in stature but tall in personality, we have Anne O'Neing. Now, while she may not look imposing on the surface, she will surely woo you with her outstanding charisma and then stab you in the eye socket.
That is true. I would do that. And have.
Coming out of the gate is Maximilian DuPont. He is small, he has magic, and potent beverage. Best of luck against the Five Lions.
Frankie, do mascara, do ratio.
Welcome, one and all, to the great fight night brawl of the Mages in Merlot Tavern and Spellbinding Arcade. I'm here to introduce the man, the myth, the legend, Horatio!
Oh, that was good.
Man, there the apple go. Does not fall very far from the tree.
What apple?
I'm sorry, neighbors.
Listen, quiet hours don't start until...
They're like, what is going on over there?
Like, it's every other Tuesday almost.
Guess just it's an excuse we need to cover this entire apartment in acoustic tiling.
I've been slowly doing that with books and shelves. It's just random things.
You guys just killed the gibbering mouther. It fell to the ground and you witnessed Chad grow a little bit bigger and understand a little bit more. You're deep in the caves.
Chad, my boy, you're looking... Did you just age right before our eyes? What's going on there with you, lad?
I think I'm understanding... I need experiences to understand. I have all the knowledge, but none of it makes any sense if I don't have any experiences to conceptualize them. I just get... I'm still getting the itch that we need to go back to Neverwinter and get to the library.
We must go get the child at the gate.
We did leave Jay there.
I forgot all about Jay. You see a pole with a bunch of mouths, you don't think, oh, that orphan.
Yeah.
All right. Look, problems. Two problems. Three. Two birds. Two birds. One stone. Let's get out of this cave.
This is all well and good, but am I the only one who sees the writing on the wall here that we are risking our lives for absolute uncertainty here? So far, this Chad has shown little to no value on us, and I've almost died two times assisting this
chaotic band of whatever we want to call ourselves.
He may fix the arcane engine, and I will do whatever to find the answer.
And that's all very well and good for you. I need to keep myself alive.
Doable.
From the people after me, which is not very easy when I'm being thrown into the air callously and to fall with nobody there to catch me. And then...
No. Willie Dole tried to catch you.
And thrown into a cave with a horrible beast made of mouths.
I take Horatio to the side. I go, friend, here. And I lean in close and I go, think of it this way, right? Think of it this way. This chaotic band of adventurers. It's kind of like a circus. And here's why. Everyone here's good at something. The chaos is amazing. The performance level. Did you see what just happened?
I have my friends that I've been looking for. They're probably looking for me. If I'm off gallivanting around.
Making headlines.
With crazies.
Making headlines with crazies.
The chances of me being alive to find them are dwindling to nothing at this point.
The young lady has a point.
You were not supposed to be listening to this conversation. I turn around.
Am I not? Well, hello, friends. Horatio. Wait, what do your friends call you?
Horatio.
Horatio. Let's take a step back and look at the bigger picture here. We were given a wish that granted us ultimate knowledge locked away somehow in this young lad here. If we could unlock him... Your problems can be solved because you will be able to ask young Chad where your friends are. Trogram, you will be able to ask what's wrong with your artifact. Max, Anne, you could be asked how to get the fame and fortune you so desire and rightfully already have, but more fame, more fortune.
I nod enthusiastically. Yes, I do.
The answer, my friends, is Chad, and we must embrace that. Embrace the moment and seize the moment and seize the power that Chad represents.
I will follow you all to the library. But if this does not seem to be the best option to find my friends and reorganize my troop and stay safe from the band of mercenaries after my head and my friend's head, then I will have to find another way because laying low so far has kept me safe. And the chaos we've been unleashing so far has only put me in danger.
You make excellent points, and I stare at Peanut. I lean in, and I go, you best protect him better.
As we leave the cave, you guys get back up to the surface. The whole camp is still there, but the gnolls are gone, and it's dark.
Wait, how are we supposed to prove that we killed all the gnolls?
I make like an isometric top view of... the scene of me burning down the entire gnoll camp just with minor illusion just on the ground in front of us. And I'll be like, just okay. Point to it.
Correct.
He even has little bodies walking around on fire. Look at that.
Yeah. It's very disturbing. Trust me. It's burned up here.
All right, do the gnolls in the illusion know they're alive? Do the gnolls have mind in the illusion? What are the ethics of this illusion?
I walk 200 feet away from camp and start setting up my campsite because I don't want to be nowhere near this nightmare pit of gibbering mouthers and gnoll ash.
He's walking away counting how many feet he is away from the camp.
So we're going to camp here and then go head back in the morning. Is that the plan?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I've met enough dangerous stuff today.
I stake up camp sitting up against a rock next to Horatio and I go, don't worry, Horatio, I'll keep watch. And then fall asleep immediately.
Trogram goes over to Anne and pokes her with the butt of his maul and says, you are not good at this.
I wake up with my fists like in karate and I'm just like, why ought I like gently punch Trogram in the kneecap because I'm not very strong.
Ouch.
Or tall.
Small or tall. Ouch. Go to bed. I will take first watch.
All right, I'll be your backup.
Chad kind of walks up to Theo and he looks at him and he goes, thank you for helping me. I appreciate you helping me find my way in this world. And he comes up and he touches your shoulder. And then all of you kind of get this sense that you've leveled up.
So we feel like
Like, for example, learning a new spell, we like feel just like an insertion of knowledge into our brain.
Yes.
So when Theo feels this surge of energy course through his body and he can sense that he's more powerful than he was before Chad touched him, he looks at Chad differently and smiles and says, "Chad, my boy, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. If you have powers like that, what did you just do, my lad?"
"I gave you knowledge. I gave you what you were looking for."
"Yes, you did."
He walked up and touched all of us, or just him?
He just touched him, but you all got the feeling.
I, like, not realizing what happened, feeling like a massive headache of just this, like, insertion of knowledge into my brain, jump up in a fright, like, waking up, and just, like, try to mentally capture this energy and, like, focus it into just, like, a random field of trees over to my right, and just, like, try to push it out of my head and accidentally cast Earth Tremor, which is the new spell that I just learned. And so basically, like, the trees just, like, get kind of slightly uprooted and, like, shift, and maybe something falls over or whatever. What?
Horatio! And as the earth tremors, Chad runs over to you.
That was the most overwhelming, like, okay, I don't know why, but I felt really angry for a second, and, like, physically, the earth moved with that anger right over there, and I don't know how or why I did that, and I'm a little scared.
I think that was my fault. I can't take that back. When I get scared, I try to tell myself this thing. Can I see your instrument?
Sure. I hand him my instrument. My lute.
Chad grabs a lute, and he just starts playing it. It ends up being a song about long-lost friends and how one day we'll all be back together. And you recognize it as the song that you shared with your circus mates.
Meet me by the evergreen, a mirror of that night, where we bared our souls to the afterlife. Despite of what we lost, stained forever in our minds, the world will still move on in time. And if the fates decide to send us on our separate ways, think back to the evergreen and our glory days.
How do you know that? That's not just any song. That's the song that my troupe played with each other when we had big, successful shows. That was our celebration song. How do you know that song?
I just do. It just came to me.
I, like, still mentally processing kind of the situation, but my brain migraine settling and settling down. I'm able to reconsolidate my thoughts and recognize the lingering memory. There's nobody else who would know. There's no way you could know that song unless you know somebody else from my troop. What do you know my troop? Do you know where they are? What is this?
I know you.
You pulled that out of my head? What powers do you possess that you could know that?
It came to me when we beat the monster. Like you said, it comes from, it's what you do when you do things, when you win. That's what it's about.
Okay.
I don't know all of it yet, but it's coming.
Okay. Well, I'll take that as a promise of something more. I think we need to get him to the library.
Night goes on, the shift switches up, and Chad walks over to Trogram.
Young Chad, why do you come to me this evening? You should be sleeping.
I've been having a lot of thoughts lately since the fight, and I haven't. Can I see the orb?
Why?
I just I think I figured something out.
Certainly. And he unbuckles his pouch and hands him the arcane engine.
And he grabs it, and then he kind of spins it a little bit, and then holds it, and then he starts twisting it back and forth, kind of like a Rubik's Cube. And after three clicks, the click, it starts glowing a little bit, and then quickly shuts off.
Trogum was ecstatic for a minute with his eyes sort of going wide and his mouth going agape for just a second before sheer disappointment comes on his face. Of like, continue. You almost had it. Continue.
And he kind of holds it in his hand and he goes, it's missing a piece.
What is it missing?
And he kind of shows it to you, and you can. He kind of points to the center, and you see that center is there's an empty space there.
Do you know what must go in this space?
No, but
not yet. Anyway,
not yet.
Mm-hmm. Trogum takes the thing, puts it back in the pouch, and seals it up, and says, "We will take you to the Neverwinter Library, and we will figure out what piece is missing, both in you and in the arcane engine." Go to bed.
And he walks to the bed and goes back to sleep. As the night goes on, right when the sun rises, Chad quickly sits up and just kind of, he's alive. And then kind of a quick little earthquake happens around and everybody wakes up.
I swear that wasn't me this time.
Whoa.
What's going on?
Who turned on the sun and who also turned on the earth?
Are you having prophetic dreams again?
You see the green light.
Oh, that's not good.
The same green light from the gnolls and from the mouther. And you just see the look on his face and it furls down. He's angry and he looks at you and goes, and it's not his voice. And you hear, you have no idea how to use Chad. You've been wasting his time. You've been wasting your time. You don't deserve this power.
Okay, that's creepy. Chad?
Chad, this isn't funny.
It's not funny how you've been wasting all of our time.
So,
who are you?
How do we not waste it?
Can I make an insight check to see if this person is necessarily evil?
Yeah.
Vibe check.
19. Give me them vibes.
You can tell that Chad is being possessed and he is not a good person.
This is not Chad. This is something evil.
I pick up my like loot and hold it out by the neck like it's a stat, like a club. Because I was like, not in armor, don't have access to my daggers. I'm just like fending myself.
This is good. You are learning.
So Theo reaches out with his awakened mind that he gets from the great ancient one, and he tries to communicate telepathically with the being inside Chad, and without speaking out loud, he thinks, "Who are you?"
You immediately get pushed away,
like just mentally or physically.
Yeah, mentally, like so much so that it does push you back a little bit.
Whoa! I just tried to connect with this thing, and it shoved me out of its mind.
How dare you think you can peer into my mind? How dare you think that you can come over to me?
I meant no harm. I just thought maybe you might want a little privacy in telling us who you are, but...
What do you want?
What I want it's what's best for Chad.
Are you Chad's dad?
I didn't even know Chad had a dad.
That's pretty rad.
And whispers, bars.
If you don't mind me saying, good sir, it does not sound like you've got Chad's best interest at heart here.
You've wasted his time.
You possessed his body. Don't tell us what we have been doing to Chad while you are literally up in his body, flesh form.
You are in a young man's body. That is disgusting.
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 Jail.
I walk up to Chad while still holding my loot in whatever intimidating way I can. And I just like grab Chad by the shoulder and try to shake him out of it.
He kind of like comes back in his demeanor being the violent before, quickly goes back to the young Chad that you know, and he goes, guys, I don't want to go.
What was that?
I don't want
to
go.
You don't have to go.
I...
Go where? What are you talking about?
I have to go.
You don't have to go.
They're telling me I have to go.
Who's telling you?
You don't have to listen to them.
I do.
No.
Why?
No, you don't. We're here, buddy.
We're going to Neverwinter.
I'm sorry, guys.
Chad, use your knowledge.
I want to stay here and hang out and learn like this with you guys, but they're not letting me. I have to go study.
Who?
I have to go.
So I try to reach out with Chad's mind again.
Who are you trying to talk to?
Chad. Yeah, they reach out and say, Chad, where do you think you need to go? Just calm down. Take a deep breath.
As you reach into Chad's mind, you understand his disdain for leaving. And some higher forces, some authority is making him speak and act in this way.
It's communicate telepathically so he can actually talk to me. I can understand utterances and yeah. And we could speak because we speak the same language. Okay. Okay. So he would say, like, Chad, what's going on?
They're making me go. They're making me leave.
Who's they, Chad? Who's they?
It's the teacher, man.
Listen, just fight it. Just stay here. Don't go anywhere. Just stay here.
I can't. I don't have the power. I'll get in trouble.
The teacher man? Tell me more. Where are they trying to take you? We'll come back. We'll come for you.
I have to go to the library. They said I've been wasting my time. I need to study. I need to go. I need to be in class. And in that moment, the same teleportation that you saw from earlier, the pages start wrapping around him, and he's gone.
Chad,
did we just get RuneScape
Chad.
Random evented? What?
That's a deep cut.
You're going to class, bud.
And runs up and just starts waving the space where Chad just was, trying to figure out what happened.
Well, when Trogrim sees the pages turning, he makes a diving lunge for Chad and just misses and hits the ground where he once was standing moments ago.
Theo takes a staggering step back when the mental connection is broken, and he says, "I've lost him. I've lost him. He's gone to the library, guys. That's the last thing he said to me."
I'm just like still looking at my hand. I'm just like previously shaking Chad. I'm like, "Yeah, what just happened?"
He mentioned someone, the teacher. He said he had to go. He's been wasting his time. He had to go study, and he had to go to the library. And it was somebody named the teacher that was forcing him to go.
Are we just accomplices to truancy? Is that what's happening?
Trogrim is like, just stands up and says, where do we go? What do we do?
We go to the library. That's where he said he was going. We go there and see if he's there.
People study at libraries?
Library is basically a non-living form of Chad. It's a place where knowledge is kept.
Must go to the library.
Yes, but we cannot go in hot-headed. Whoever can magically rob us like this can probably do a lot more.
What is hot-headed?
We go in, we stay quiet, we lay low, and we try to figure it out without making too many big moves.
I'm really good at libraries.
I am not good at lying.
Yeah, it's okay. The secret is, and I walk up to Trogrim and I go, the secret is just be yourself. You just kind of relax yourself. You go in, you say, everyone is maybe not here for you, but those who will listen will get it, you know? And then you just play your heart song in the library. And then there's no stress.
Trogrim, convince me the sky is green.
The sky is green.
No, it's not.
Ooh, intimidation. Try intimidation.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is green.
I'm just like kind of shocked a little bit. Maybe don't be yourself.
You don't listen to him, Trogrim. You be yourself, and I'll back you up on that. And then libraries aren't so scary. Remember, okay.
I am not scared of the library. I am not scared of knowledge.
Oh, that's good, because I
am not good at lying.
I was going to say that the library is more afraid of you than you are of it. But if you're not afraid of it, then that's not a problem at all.
Why don't you just leave the talking up to us, and I just put my arm around Anne.
Wonderful.
All right, I guess.
Let's go.
Time to go?
Yeah.
All right. We must check in on Jay.
We only got one child. I keep forgetting about Jay.
We must check on two child.
Wow, 50%. Woof.
Do we?
No, 1-for-2 on childs.
Do we have to check in on him? Isn't he with the guards?
We must.
I feel for the kid, but like, he's safe in the city now. We need to, we'll find a tavern. We can drop him off.
I must do this.
Okay, Trogram, you do you.
As Trogram, we start walking back to the gate, and I turn to the guard and say, "Where is the child we have left?"
The child you have left.
I charged you as babysitter.
You did, you did. Did you do your job?
Hell yeah, we did. Watch this.
I just cast a little minor illusion, that top, like, isometric view of the village in flames and the gnolls with the flesh melting off of their bones, walking around, seemingly not feeling the pain until they collapse under the removal of their own muscles. And I just point at that proudly, without saying a word to the guard.
Woof.
And Trogram takes like a handful of I don't know, Noel jewelry that is like so severely burnt, just tossed it at his feet.
Okay.
It was pretty disturbing.
I can see that. Yeah. Okay, let him in.
And the gate opens up.
Now, as I mentioned before, sir, you did, in fact, make us late to our appointment for our performance at the tavern. No doubt they will be furious with it. And surely Anne and I will not be paid the due that we are owed for coming in and serving us. So if anything, by you sending us on this quest, I think you owe us payment in return for blocking our other forms of livelihood.
Yeah.
Can I roll persuasion?
Make a roll of persuasion.
Wait, with my, like, yeah. I cast Bardic Inspiration on his.
All right, it was a real, like, enthusiastic.
Like a cheerleader. Like.
Yeah,
cheerleader.
Yeah!
I was thinking more like an usher, like, yeah.
It's yeah. Lil Jon. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah. Yeah.
I come out on roller skates. all right. Ooh, that is 15.
You make some excellent points. You make some excellent points. I don't have much money, but I do have this.
And he takes off his helmet. And as he takes his helmet off, he puts it down. He looks up and you see the most incredibly beautiful, stunning person you've ever seen, but he has the most baby face ever. Like, he looks like a toddler, but he has long flowing golden hair and then
chiseled jaw.
Good God, man.
Ah, you seem to wear that helmet on all sunny days, don't you?
And he takes off his necklace and he goes, you can have this.
Your voice, I just want you to know, does not match your face at all.
I've never heard that once in my life.
That's crazy.
I take the necklace out of his hand and I say, good deal, sir. Have a good day.
He grabs
Please put
the helmet
back on. Protect that face.
He grabs the helmet and he puts it back on.
You take care of yourself, you beautiful, anomalous baby face man.
And he looks at you and he goes,
thank you. The kids in the tavern.
Oh, perfect. We're going to drop him. We were going to drop him off there anyway. That's perfect.
Start him early, I said.
He is safe.
He should be, yeah.
Can I make an insight check to see if he's lying?
Yeah, sure.
He killed the child and dumped him in the gutter.
Oh, that's a three.
You don't... that insight was horrible.
Trogram is satisfied, saying, I sense he is safe. We must proceed to the library.
What is this necklace that I have convinced a guard to give me?
The necklace is a chain of black pearls with a cross on it, but the bottom of the cross looks like it has been filed down to a point.
Is it like broken off or?
Nope.
Okay.
It's like a symbol of some kind.
Yeah.
Can I do an insight check to see, or I'll let you think whether it be like a history or a religion check if I recognize the symbol.
History check.
History check. Okay. That's 14.
You recognize the necklace as a symbol of something important, but you don't quite recall what it is. But you've seen it somewhere, but you don't know where.
Very important. Do you wear it? Or do you just keep it in your pocket?
I just put it in my pocket for now.
We have to go to the tavern, right? See Jay, make sure he's alive.
The guard was so convincing that I'm pretty sure Jay is fine. I rolled a 2 on my insight, and so I trust that Jay is fine.
And I think the more urgent matter is Chad was kidnapped and taken to, or yeah. not kidnapped, yeah. but taken against his will. or left against his will, felt like he was forced to go. We should go check in on Chad
first. We have a classic RPG scenario where the main storyline has developed too much of a sense of urgency, and so we miss all the side quests.
As you walk through the city, you see actual vendors in that were allowed into the city. They are selling all kinds of knickknacks and tallywags.
Not insults.
And you can smell fresh food, little bit of the sea breeze.
As we pass by the food stalls, Trogum sees one of the various meat on a stick places and is just walking with a bouquet of meat on the sticks, just sort of taking them down one at a time.
Are they just whole rotisserie chickens on sticks?
No, these are like nicely prepared little cuts of meat on sticks.
Like kebabs.
Yeah, kebabs. But in a bouquet, like several, like a dozen.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. It's like edible arrangements, just kebabs and not flowers.
We are all in looking at loots and meats on sticks and corners. What are you guys doing?
So I'm looking for the most successful looking merchant stall.
I'm looking for sweets, but also just going through the stalls that aren't being visited by anyone to see if I can find anything underappreciated.
Mm. Can I just walk up to a guard and be like, "Hi, good sir. Just a quick question. I'm a newcomer to the city. Could you help me find? I'm just looking for the library."
Yeah, I could help you find the library.
Yeah, which direction is the library?
And he kind of points to like this gothic building. In the distance.
It says library on it.
Ye old library.
And it's this beautiful architecture that historically people think is quite ugly, but like now everyone thinks it's very beautiful because it's over the top.
It's gaudy.
It's gothic.
Sure.
And a wooden sign is on the top that does say Ye old library. And he kind of points at it and goes, "There it is."
I just shout, "Ann, Max, Trogram, found the library."
Trogram walks up, his hand just covered in, like, meat grease. turns to Max and says, do you know prestidigitation?
There's what looks like a sticky, like, gelatinous around his mouth. No, I don't.
Does anyone know prestidigitation? I'm very greasy.
No, but I know comprehend languages.
That doesn't help.
I know hellish rebuke.
That's too much.
I just, like, snap my fingers and say, scrub-a-dub, and...
Poosh. Wonderful.
The grease
you.
Is Horatio, washed.
Could you?
Scrub it up. Poosh.
Thank you.
My turn.
You guys still got the dirt on your back.
Scrub it up. Poosh.
It just goes to the other cheek.
And I suppose we make our way to the library.
Okay. You walk into these giant double doors and you walk in and you just see kind of, it's like a checkpoint and there's a desk with a hole somewhat 10 feet above it, and then two doors left or right, and on the desk is a bell.
Ding!
Out of the hole, you see this slippery slime, not really slimy, this scaly creature kind of just falls in through the hole and comes down and sits in front of you and goes, "Why, hello.
What does this creature look
like? A snake person? What is this?
Does it have arms and legs?
I am the bookworm. So how are you today?
I knew the city attracted people from all over, varied people. I didn't know it got this extreme.
Are you like half worm or
we are good.
What is... What is, why are you a snake?
So I'm not a snake. I'm bookworm.
Okay, we're looking for Chad.
Are you familiar with Chad?
Well, he looks like a boy, definitely needs to be taught how to shave, made of paper.
Who?
Yeah, I guess he's not really distinguishable. Very confused about the world. If you ask him any question, he'll answer it, but he'll be really confused and a little bit concerned.
Like most... children?
No, because he's an adolescent, so he's asking way more questions than you think an adolescent should ask. You know, because like they already, like most adolescents are like, "Yeah, I know everything, I don't care." But he's like, "Tell me the experiences," and he cries a lot.
So no, I have not.
Mm. Do you know what section that we might find maybe a book like that would be on?
Do any of you have the credentials of the university?
I sure do.
I mean, I'm an adjunct professor of music at the university.
I turned to Max and said, is this a lie?
Well, so you were going to get an advantage.
I said this like sort of like quietly from the rest of the group, just like saying, to Max.
Okay,
I say to Max and say, is this what we were talking about earlier? Is this lying, maybe?
No, we're not lying right here.
I would actually get that was a pretty good lie. I'd give that advantage, Matthew. You have advantage on your persuasion.
This is going to be a persuasion check with advantage.
Yep.
A lying check.
Deception?
Oh, it's deception.
Is that going to be deception? Okay.
Yeah, that's my bad.
That's fine. That is going to be a 15.
I'm so sorry that I didn't recognize you, Professor.
It's fine. You know, I only teach on Wednesdays. You know, it usually starts like it's every other Wednesday, but then sometimes, you know, I'm teaching at the other vacation homes, and they have the live performances. Sometimes I go into a bit of a fugue state. It's fine. But, you know, I understand that you wouldn't recognize me. I haven't been back here in quite a while.
And we are students of musical professorship.
Of course. One of my most promising students right here.
So what exactly are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for a colleague of ours that has very, very significant musical knowledge. And they told us that they would meet us here at the library.
The snake looks at you and goes, give me a second. And it goes back up into the hole.
Guys, can we huddle up real quick? I think we're wasting our time here. It said something about a university and
who
credentials.
Who gatekeeps a library?
They said something about a university. And when Chad was taken, didn't we hear something about the teacher man?
Oh.
Teacher,
he
university.
He would probably be hiding him.
I think we should.
But Chad specifically told me he was coming to the library. That he had to get to the library.
That was his goal, potentially, but not the goal of the
teacher man. Mm-hmm. I think instead we should get more information on this university and maybe its staff.
Could be worth a shot.
The worm comes back out the hole.
I'm going to also cast Awakened Mind because I have that as an aberrant mind sorcerer. And I am going to... My eyes glow slightly blue, but I kind of shield them. And I'm going to beam to Horatio, and I'm going to go... don't jump, it's me, Max. Instead, ask for a book about the history of the university. You're writing a dissertation, and you need a little bit more background knowledge, even though you work there.
As the worm comes forward, you see a book attached kind of to his tail. He slaps the book down on the table, and then his tail just starts vigorously going through it.
So impressive without any thumbs.
He says, so no one by the name of Chad has been in or out.
You keep a record of everyone who enters and leaves this library?
You have to check in and you have to check out.
Well, that's very unfortunate. I guess while we are here, there were a few other things I had to ask. I guess first and foremost, you know, unfortunately... Well, my expertise is music. I have also been forcibly put into positions of history teaching, and so I'm supporting some students in one of their thesis, which they're doing a very internal-focused thesis, and they're looking for information regarding the history of the university itself. Things that might involve history of staff, you know, kind of what their roles were and their involvement. If you have any information or you know, kind of synopses of these books that we might be able to reference, I'm sure my students would appreciate it.
Why, of course. But first, for you to all go in, you must sign in. And the book slides over to you with a pen right next to it.
Okay, I sign, I just sign Peanut.
I sign P. Dot N-U-T-T-E.
Peanut.
I'm going to go ahead and sign in as Baracus. I'm also going to cast Awakened Mind to Trogrum.
Does Trogram have the concept of deception in his mind?
He does it.
No, we went over this earlier. Yeah. Not really. No, he knows intimidation, not deception.
Trogram, don't get startled. It's me, Max. Don't get startled. Pull it back. When you sign your name into this book, come up with a different name. Don't respond. Just think of a name, not any of our names, and sign that as your name. Okay.
The Trogram looks at Max and goes, and he picks up the pen and just signs it, dirt. Puts the pen down, looks at the snake and like nods.
The most believable one so far.
Theo enthusiastically picks up the pen and rolls up his sleeves and with a great flourish signs this incredibly loopy, loopy, loopy signature that you wouldn't be able to read. If
the snake grabs the book back. Thank you so much. Take a look at the book. As you look at the book, the snake turns it around and it puts X's by everyone who did not write a name truthfully and a check next to the people who wrote the name that did write it truthfully. Two of you can enter. Mr. Theo and Peanut, the only two that signed their names truthfully.
How do you know?
The book.
The sky is green.
End of episode.
I mean, it could be.
Theo and Peanut.
That doesn't say
can
Theo.
Can go in.
So, yeah, I start walking in.
The tail whips right in front of you. And who's the squirrel?
Peanut's like shrugging also.
I take Peanut on. Off my shoulder, I put him on Anne's shoulder.
I visibly tense up.
Thank you.
It's feral. It's feral. Get it off, it's feral.
I take hold of Horatio's shoulder and I go, you're the one I trust the most to go in there. No offense to Blackthorn.
This is a library. I'm wholly confident it will be safe inside.
Yeah, of course.
Blackthorn.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
The doors open up as you two walk in.
All right, Theo looks around.
You see three passageways, one to your left, one straight ahead, one to your right. The one to your left, you can sense that there's just a lot of energy in that room, like just movement. The straight one, you sense that it's quiet, it's peaceful. And the one to the right is not loud, but it's like thumping. You're like, like the first one was kind of chaotic. This one's more like rhythmic with the energy coming from it.
Like a club.
Yeah.
We just hear like a...
Yeah.
Echoing in the distance.
I think, what, your guess is as good as mine. For some reason, the rhythmic beat is calling me. Yeah, I'm going to go toward the rhythmic beat then.
As you walk over to the rhythmic beat, you look inside and you see a Chad.
Hey, Chad?
You see Chad. As you walk in, you see Chad, but he's not all there. He's like clear. You can see through him, but he's furiously moving around. And it's in such a speed and a dynamic way that he is playing all different kinds of instruments and reading at the same time. He's just
like studying information.
Exactly. Just shifting back and forth.
I mean, I try to get his attention and, you know, Chad, my boy.
He ignores. He's just going and going.
Something's not right. Let's go to the other. So we run across to the other side where the loud energy was coming from.
Loud energy. Now he is just, there's piles of books everywhere. The first one was instruments. This one's books. And he's just reading
but
furiously.
But still Chad.
Still Chad, just furiously reading back and forth.
Chad.
Nothing.
I try to grab him. I grab
his
arm.
Goes right through him.
Right through him.
Mm-hmm.
I take out my lute and I play the song that he played at the campfire.
You see a sudden tiny little stop and right back into playing.
So the first room was he was playing a bunch of instruments. This room he's thumbing through a bunch of books. Then there was kind of a quiet room. Let's go to that room.
Okay.
You walk in the quiet room and you just see his, you see Chad there sitting at the table, his hands just over his head, and just kind of like when you see a pre-med student in his first, it's a pre-med student in finals, just defeated.
I reach out telepathically with my awakened mind and I go, Chad.
Nothing's there.
Nothing's there. I can't sense anything. No. I couldn't sense anything.
I think this is a, I don't think this is Chad. I think this is some form of split piece of Chad.
Yeah. Like a echo of Chad or something maybe, or a.
Or a fraction.
A fraction
of
or a fragment. Whole. It's a fragment of Chad. He did say he had to go study. It appears like he's studying music or books or whatever he's doing here.
And I start thumbing through books to the best of my knowledge on like the history of the university, whether it be things that would be like staff records or anything like that, looking for some kind of like the teacher name tied to somebody, as like calling them the teacher specifically is like a nickname.
The books are blank.
Every book in the library is blank.
The ones that revolving around.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, I think something is keeping information from us or doesn't want to be discovered here.
Yeah, so I go back to the silent Chad. Mm-hmm. And I try to I look closer at where he's sitting, and I try to look at closer at him to see if I can sense any kind of or look for just some kind of clue.
Make an investigation check.
While they're doing that, I'm teaching Trogram how to play rock, paper, scissors. So this covers the rock, thereby immobilizing it. So that's why it wins.
Trogram takes the paper, rips it in two. Is it, rock beats paper every time. It is not immobilized.
This is just how the game is played. Okay, so scissors beats paper. Paper beats rock. Rock beats scissors.
Get scissors it? Beats paper. Paper beats rock. Rock beats scissors.
Yes.
Paper does not beat rock. Everything else makes sense.
If you could just let go of your disbelief, it will all make sense.
All right. I will abide by these fanatical rules for a moment.
You've seen magic, and this is what astounds you?
Think of it more as, instead of paper, it's like part. It's like the lambskin, you know? So lamb it's really rock lambskin scissors.
Rock lambskin scissors.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
Theo rolls a 19.
Oh, God.
What was the check? Sorry.
I did an investigation on studying Chad.
As you look at Chad, you just see frustration and anger and a list of 5 things. And you're only able to make out 3 of those things. Castle Barovia, Waterdeep, and the Purple Rocks.
All right, back to the worm. Mr. Worm.
There's like a spinning cutscene.
We're in need of
specialized help.
Specialized knowledge, great knowledge. It seems our friend Chad GPT has been split into 3 or 5 parts. We don't know. We need to bring them back together again. Is there counsel we could seek to help us understand what happened to Chad and how we might bring him back together again?
Maybe Merlot?
Merlot. Not Merlot.
Not Merlot. Merlot.
Merlot. Where might we find this Merlot, and what fashion of being is this Merlot?
Right down the street, you'll see quite colorful building. I'll go into there.
What manner of being is Merlot? If you are a bookworm, he is a
mage.
He's a mage. So we're off to see the mage Merlot in the colorful building down the one-way street.
Yes.
Now, we can count on your discretion as the head of the library, right?
Tell no one about lambskin. And I walk out the door.
All right, we're off to see Merlot.
Yep. Thank you very much for your help. They can be a bit rude. And then I also walk out.
As you guys are walking, you see a colorful, lively building. There's just lights, kind of flashing, and it's just this like, you know, like whoop, whoop, whoop kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, we go in to see this, and we go in looking for Merlot.
Okay, you walk in and you see all these wild contraptions, all these people, all these bustering noises.
Whiz-bops and flim-flams.
Whiz-bops and flim-flams.
So mechanical contraptions?
Yeah, mechanical contraptions. There's a bunch of people.
Peanut is enthralled.
And then you see tables, and then in the back at the bar is a man facing away from you. He's looking up at all of the different types of bottles hanging up. But there's not just bottles hanging up. There's also loads of prizes and different kind of gizmos and gadgets that you can possibly win.
Did we walk into a Dave and Buster's?
That's so sick that Faerun has a Dave and Buster's. Yeah.
I'm looking around for a maid. I'm going to roll perception to look around for anything that, like, a mage staff.
Huddle up again, guys.
What'd you get?
I got a 19.
To be very discretionary with what we say, because we don't know who the teacher is.
You see the person behind the bar, you just see the back of their head, and they're in, like, you know, mage clothes, like a big pointy hat, big blue robe, and a giant staff is in their hand, and they're kind of looking up at the behind them. You can't see their face.
Okay, well, they're doing a huddle. I'm walking up to the bar, and I, like, pull myself onto a chair, and I go, put my hands down on the table. I go, Merlot!
And this pimple-faced kid turns around with a giant fake beard, and he goes, "Hi, welcome to Mages and Merlot Tavern and Spellbinding Arcade. How can I help you?"
"I will take your finest pepperoni pizza."
"I need more tokens, dude."
Yeah. They get you every time.
"I would like a pint of ale. You scratch the pepperoni. I don't want it. And then to talk with you."
"I'll bring it right up." And he kind of, like, stumbles, and the beard is so long, kind of, like, trips over it. And it's clearly, like, a completely fake beard. Like, it's attached to his ears and then going, like, down to his chest, and it doesn't connect from his chin to the top of the beard. He turns around and he fills up a pint, and but it's not a normal pint. It looks like a little hat, and he turns it off and he hands it right to you.
"Excellent. Cheers. Do you know where Merlot is?"
"Merlot. Well, this is Merlot. Mages and Merlot.
Is there an upstairs?"
"Nope.
There's an upstairs. All right. Thank you." And I hop off the counter and I go back to the group.
All righty.
I whisper to the group, "Is there a chance that we're having a bit of a linguistic issue here?" And I talk to the young man behind the counter. "Sir, do you happen to specialize in wine of a specific variety?"
This kid's like 9. He doesn't know anything.
No. "Does your establishment sell wine of a very specific variety?"
Kind of, like, puts his arm on the table and he's like, "What are you looking for?"
"Would it be a Merlot that you would happen to sell?"
"I know. You know just as well as I know. Just as well as you know how illegal this drink is. I'll serve it up to you." He walks back to the bar and he takes his staff and he hits the top shelf with the staff, and a tiny vial just kind of flies off, and he catches it without even looking at it, pops it, puts it into a shaker, and then you don't see what he does, but he kind of whispers into it. You don't hear it, what he says fully. A pink puff of smoke flies out. He then caps it, shakes it up, puts it in a glass, and it's like a very long neck with a very tiny cup on the top, and it fills it up right to the brim, and he then takes and slides it across the bar. Miraculously, it just goes and just stops right in front of you. Not a single drop falls, and he goes, "There's your Merlot."
I think he's our guy.
Well, I can certainly see myself enjoying spending a lot of time here. I don't think this is our through line to what we're looking for.
I'm just wondering, did that bookworm think that the key to bringing a man together is alcohol?
Well, it has a point.
I go over to the fake bearded kid, and I do a quick flash of my fingers and mutter under my breath, and I cast charm person on him. And I say to him, friend, is there a way you can share some information with us? We are looking for a way to help another friend of ours who's been split five ways. And we were told to come speak to a Marlot here, the mage Marlot. I think there's more than you're telling us. What can you... We're just friends here. We're just good pals. What can you tell us? And so
He makes a wisdom save.
He has a wisdom save. You attempt to charm a humanoid you can see within range, and it must make a wisdom saving throw and does so with advantage if you or your companions are fighting it, which we're not. So DC 13 against his wisdom.
I gave you my top shelf thing, and you come up to me, and you try to charm me. Do you know how annoying and angry that makes me? You didn't even take a sip to see if it was the right flavor for you, and you just...
Do they know they've been charmed if it doesn't affect them, though?
Oh, they know after it's
they know that you tried.
They know you tried.
They know you tried, I thought.
I think they would know you tried. If they know afterwards, they would know if it failed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that drink was for me. I thought it was for my friend here.
It was, but you are clearly together.
Well, I wouldn't drink for my friend's drink unless I were offered. May I partake in the drink? And I didn't mean any offense, but I just didn't know.
I'm going to forgive you this once.
You the man. Well, I'll reach over. May I?
I slide it over.
Do I need to unstopper it?
It's just a super tall,
like a long neck.
It's like a martini glass, but really flat.
It's like a coupe glass on way too tall of a stem.
Yeah,
I sniff it.
It smells disgusting.
I swirl it.
It looks beautiful.
And I chug it.
As soon as you chug it, you just freeze in a single spot, and you just get this sudden vision of the library in its gothic state, and you see a shining light shoot up, and then five different colored things rocket in different directions. You can tell that each beam is a different stone.
So Chad's been split into five different stones of different colors and is being held in those five different places.
What proof was that wine?
It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Some mages in Marlot, you know? Tavern and Spellbinding Arcade. Let's play some games.
You're very good at that. All right, five stone. Did you see which directions they went in?
North, south, east, west, and up. in every which direction.
Well, presumably these are going to correspond with the five names we saw on the list. The question is what are the ones that were slashed out?
Perhaps someone was searching for Chad, and that is a list of destinations where he was not.
Do we think this is the person that possessed Chad previously? Is this?
I think it could be.
Are we going to be chasing after the same treasure as some very powerful magical users?
Yeah, I think my theory is it's the person who spoke to us that took Chad from us, or forced Chad to leave us, I should say, and has somehow sent him off in these five different directions, and we've got to go collect him.
I've got a bad feeling about this. I don't like the idea of chasing down this, but there is no way that Chad knew that song if he doesn't know something about who I'm looking for. So despite it being probably against my better judgment, I'm inclined to agree with you.
I don't know where to learn. I don't know where else to find those other two locations, but we know three of them.
Maybe as we find the pieces of Chad, hear me out. The other locations will reveal themselves to us.
So where to first?
I look at the kid behind the counter who's probably heard all this conversation at this point, and I go, rock, lambskin, or scissors, sir?
Lambskin.
Barovia.
Okay.
Hey everyone, I just want to say thank you so much for giving this a listen. I can't believe how much support and love we've gotten over the last couple of weeks. It's been just so much fun. And I want to give a shout out to Allie, my sister, for writing the little song halfway through. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. If you have a question you want to ask any of us or any of our characters, feel free to reach out. It might even be featured at the start of the episode. Please hit that like and subscribe. Rate us 5 stars on Apple
One more thing, I want to let you guys know that you can subscribe to our Patreon, but we want to make sure that it's worth your time. So we're going to be putting out goofy, fun, just absolutely silly stories that you can look at that deepen our world. The very first one will be coming out very soon. And as always, welcome to the Dead Dragon Society.